The State Department of Health Services is reporting 2,661 new cases of COVID-19 today and 3 recorded deaths attributable to the virus. Arizona is seeing a COVID test positivity rate of almost 10% now. Nearly 12,000 new doses of COVID vaccines were recorded yesterday, bringing the state's vaccination rate to 54.3%.
With the increase in infections across Arizona, the debate over mask and vaccine requirements is also growing. A new ruling means Arizona schools are allowed to require students and staff to wear masks on campus, at least for now. A Maricopa County Superior Court judge ruled yesterday that a new state law banning mask requirements has not yet taken effect. Also yesterday, Governor Ducey issued an executive order banning cities and counties from requiring their employees be vaccinated against COVID-19. The move is aimed at Tucson, which has such requirement in place, although city leaders do not seem to be inclined to change that, with Mayor Regina Romero calling the governor's action, quote, legally meaningless. With me to talk about this is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. We always derive great meaning from our conversations. Hi, Howie.
Hi. Well, speaking about legally meaningless, that seems to be the governor's problem. Nobody's taking him seriously.
Well, so let's start with the court ruling, because basically the judge, and he said this essentially, did not rule on whether or not the state has the authority to tell districts, school districts, they cannot require masks. What he basically said was that the law, you can't break a law that's not a law yet.
Exactly. I mean, the argument had been by the attorney for a Phoenix Union teacher that the law took effect immediately because it contained items of appropriation, which generally do take effect at the beginning of the fiscal year. And the judge said, yeah, but this isn't an appropriation. This is simply a regulation of school districts. Then they argued about this retroactivity clause saying it's effective July 1st. Well, as you point out, you can't have an effective retroactivity clause of something that does not exist. Now, the judge was careful to say, as you point out, that he's not ruling on the merits. And in fact, he suggested in his language that he doesn't see any reason that the legislature cannot keep school districts from imposing mask mandates. They just can't do it yet.
So, Howie, this seemed to be, as you alluded to, one of those cases where both sides kind of claimed victory here, with the teacher saying, look, the judge did not throw out the case. He's allowing us to amend our complaint. And, you know, after September 29th, when this law will take effect, you know, we can maybe bring this back. And the district saying we can keep requiring students and teachers and staff to wear masks inside.
Well, of course, everyone claims victory. I do that every time I write a story. Look, I've written a story. You
Good
know?
Job, Howie.
I mean, the fact is that we've delayed the fight. And we still don't know in terms of the law. And also remember, there's yet another lawsuit out there that we've talked about, which is that the mask mandate was included in one of these 231-page omnibus reconciliation bills. And the argument on that lawsuit, which is yet to be heard, is that it violates the constitutional requirements that, one, every bill contain but a single subject, and two, that the title actually reflect what's in the bill. Now, that, as I pointed out, has yet to be heard. So it's very possible that even if this judge says the legislature is within its power to impose a ban on mask mandates, another judge may say, yes, if they did it right and they didn't do it right.
Right. All right. So, Howie, let's talk about vaccine requirements. Now, Tucson, as far as we know, is the only city, at least outwardly, that is saying, you know, city employees have to be vaccinated. The governor came out with an executive order yesterday, which says you cannot do that. But as we pointed out in the introduction here, city leaders don't really seem to be willing to change anything. What happens with all this?
Well, I assume we go back to court, and Tucson loves taking on the governor, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. But Tucson has a very strong sense of we are a charter city, we can do what we want, and that we don't believe that the ultimate health authority resides with the governor, that we have our own powers here. One of the things that the city attorney, Mike Rankin, pointed out is, look, it'd be one thing if we said everybody in Tucson has to get vaccinated, or everybody who comes in for a business license has to be vaccinated. We are saying our employees have to be vaccinated, and as an employer, we have that right. And in fact, there is case law, and there are rulings from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration that say employers do have rights to keep employees vaccinated. Now, does that extend to municipal employees, or are they governed by what the governor says and what the state legislature says? Again, another lawsuit coming, and who knows where that'll wind up.
Now, Howie, executive orders obviously take effect as the governor issues them, but he also referenced a state law that he said was in tandem with his executive order. Is it safe to assume, though, that much like what the judge said about the mask requirements, the law dealing with vaccine requirements has also not yet actually taken effect?
Bingo. See, you've broken the code here, Mark. The fact is that this also was in one of those budget reconciliation bills, which is a non-entity. It's sort of like, you know, being pregnant. There is no baby yet. There is no law yet. It will not be a law till the 29th. Now, the governor claims there are some underlying laws in the health code that say only has authority to declare an emergency. Remember, the governor's declared emergency is still in existence, even though it's now been, what, a year and a half, going on 2 years that we're coming into this, but we're still in emergency. So he may claim certain authority there. Does that extend to telling cities what they can do? Well, it has in the past, because, for example, he overruled a mask ordinance for everyone in Pima County.
Right.
Pima ended up pulling out of that, so we never really got a clear ruling on that. But again, how far does the governor's executive authority go, and you know, how much can cities and counties say, as far as our own employees, here's what we're going to do?
Right. I suspect we will find out in court. That is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. As always, Howie, thank you.
Glad to be here.
And as Howie just referred to, there is yet another lawsuit over mask mandates that was just filed last week. This one from the other side of the argument. Rather than argue whether the law has taken effect, this case, which was filed by school boards, the Arizona Teachers Union, a progressive advocacy group, and some others, could decide whether the anti-mask mandate policy is enforceable at all. Here to explain is our own Ben Giles. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Lauren.
Okay, so the challengers in this case are arguing that the law the governor signed banning mask mandates is essentially unconstitutional. How?
Well, it's not that the policy itself is unlawful. This case is all about the way the law was passed by Republicans in the legislature. As Howie mentioned, there's two key provisions in the Arizona Constitution at play here. There's a rule that laws can only deal with one subject at a time, and there's another rule that bills have to be given a short title or some kind of name that accurately describes what's in the bill. Attorney Rupali Desai is representing all those organizations who are challenging the law. She said there were several instances in the budget that Republicans just adopted in June where that didn't happen, and that includes when it comes to the policy banning mask mandates.
So some might be wondering, Ben, you know, why was this policy, anything like this, in the budget in the first place?
Well, that's exactly the point the lawsuit is trying to make here, that the budget is supposed to be about the budget. That's the spending plan for the state of Arizona for the next year. Now, there's typically a dozen or so bills that are drafted that detail that spending plan. There's a money bill that details how much is going to be spent. And then there's what are called these budget reconciliation bills. They're kind of like an instruction manual for how to spend the money. Mm-hmm. And those manuals deal with different subject matter areas like public safety or infrastructure or K-12 education. And that's the manual, that K-12 budget reconciliation bill that includes the ban on mask mandates.
Okay, and so what this lawsuit is arguing is that there's nothing connecting that policy on masks to the state spending plan, the budget itself.
Right, right. There's nothing connecting the dots between money and this substantive policy regulation on schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to tie it back to those constitutional rules, they're making the case that a big policy change like a ban on mask mandates is unrelated to the state spending plan, wasn't adequately described in the title of the budget bill, and just shouldn't be in that bill, period. Rupali Desai, the attorney for the plaintiffs, described the process of how that happened as log rolling.
It is putting together many, many different unrelated subjects into a law, which often happens. I mean, the practical reason that log rolling happens is to be able to trade votes.
We've also referred to that as horse trading down at the Capitol when a lawmaker leverages their vote for or against a bill in order to maybe get a policy they want added to that bill. And this year, we saw a lot of Republicans exercise that leverage when it came to the budget. You know, the lawsuit cites a handful of Republicans who swore they'd refuse to vote for the budget plan unless it included this mask mandate ban policy.
So this might sound cynical, Ben, but you know, isn't this just politics? Like, isn't this the way the process has always worked down at the Capitol?
Yes and no. You know, I've been covering Arizona politics not quite as long as Howie, but for nearly a decade, and I've always seen lawmakers try to use the budget process to their advantage to, you know, to get their own pet projects adopted. That is common. What was different this year was the new power dynamic at the Capitol. Republicans only had one vote majorities in the House and the Senate. That's their narrowest collective majority in years. Remember, Republicans also don't try to make inroads with Democrats to secure bipartisan support for budgets. And that means every Republican in the legislature could throw a wrench in budget negotiations because they knew their vote was absolutely necessary to adopt a spending plan on party line votes. But the point this case is trying to make is there's a difference between leveraging your vote to maybe get money for roads in your legislative district in the budget and shoehorning a regulation into that spending plan that has no appropriation tied to it. Here's Desai again.
We feel like the legislature has taken this too far and in an unprecedented way has abused the budget reconciliation bill process.
Desai said this case could serve as something of a reset or a course correction for that legislative budget process.
And it's also worth noting, Ben, that masks are not the only issue at stake here.
Right. The lawsuit also draws attention to other policies included in four of the 11 budget bills that passed in June. That includes changes to how our elections are run and rules limiting how certain race-related issues can be taught or discussed in public schools. The lawsuit wants all of those policies blocked from becoming law before September 29th, that important scheduled effective date for new laws. Mm-hmm. And again, a ruling striking down those policies would send a pretty clear message to Republican lawmakers that business as usual, at least when it comes to log rolling or horse trading on the budget, needs to change.
All right. A consequential case for mask policies and politics at the Arizona Capitol. For sure, we'll be sure to catch up with you again following this lawsuit. KJZZ's own Ben Giles. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Lauren.